I totally agree with that, Mom. You know, Phoenix, did you say that when I was dialing the number, Phoenix doesn't do it?
No, I didn't say it, but you're right. Yeah,
Phoenix. Yeah, Arizona doesn't, which is kind of weird, too, because then, you know, with Terry out there, it's like, okay, what time zone are they on now?
They don't worry about it. They're on the same time all the time. We're the ones that have to worry about
it. Yeah, we're the ones who change. I just thought it was funny they could vote if they wanted to do it or not. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was an option.
I didn't either. We'd be voting here. I thought we could.
Yeah.
A lot of people for daylight. That's the problem.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I haven't heard from Rachel, but I know she'll be calling in, which she typically does a little bit later. So I want to get started because I have to be on the road right at quarter till. So, okay, physical touch. Well, let's start with first acts of kindness. Did anybody get to experience or share an act of kindness this past week? And did you see any effects from it?
Okay, Brenda, you're the only one.
Yeah, you're it, Brenda. You and Mom.
I don't think I was very kind this week.
You weren't very kind this week, huh?
Look at it this way. I try to be kind all the time, so I don't recognize it when I'm trying to be.
Well, there you go. I didn't journal the acts of kindness, let's put it that way. But I do try to do things that are kind all the time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't. I was telling Katie that I was still having sleep, so I don't recall doing anything specific that I can tell you about.
Right.
But, you know, as you went down the list, there were so many things that we already do, you know? So
yeah.
That's the good part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people need to work on it. We just were two that didn't.
Exactly. Something like that. Okay, so on the list, what we want to do, and, you know, I know this, we're finishing the book, but we've got something on physical touch, a challenge we're going to do. But the next week, pick something on the list that you don't do and do it and see if it makes a difference. Because, you know, I kind of noticed with, and Brandon knows this, with Kim, I open the studios on Wednesday and we have a DIQ that's there, Kim. And it was probably more quality time, but in a way, it was acts of kindness in a random way, in the sense of, you know, she would come in and say, do you have a quick second? And I would share with her whatever she was asking me. And she was extremely appreciative of the suggestions and the ideas and me taking stuff out to show her and things like that. So it was kind of a mixture of everything. It was a mixture of time. It was a mixture of gift of presence. It was, you know, so, and an act of kindness. So, and I really saw. Do what?
In a way, it was affirming to her as well.
Right, exactly. So it was really just kind of everything encompassed, and it really made me realize that that really does affect people in all aspects. It affected her and her ability to think, wow, I can do this. I can go to the next step. I can do this. And that was really powerful to see it, to actually witness it. Because I can't say I've ever truly witnessed it firsthand. So that was really cool for me.
Wait till you see her do it after you told her she can. And that's a great privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, it does. Absolutely. And just a couple of things that she has already enacted that we talked about was just very rewarding in itself. And I guess the coolest part is, for me, the way I look at it as an act of kindness, she has no direct, I always say, she doesn't have a direct lineage to us. She is in, you know, Dawn Alton Sweeney's national area. She's in Lisa's unit. She's part of the studio. That's it. So, you know, to me, that always says more powerful things. Like, I love the nationals that have no lineage. You know what I mean? No mm-hmm. connection in a roundabout way other than Mary Kay.
So. No, they don't help anybody else is what you're trying to say.
Well, they help other people, but, you know, okay. I don't see it. I don't, like Pam Shaw, for instance, I don't see her going out of her way to, you know, come up and talk to people like she does me. And so just that kind of stuff. You
but
know,
you
it makes
do
them feel special.
The people that don't do it. Don't
yes,
you?
Absolutely.
It's so obvious.
Absolutely. It is so obvious. I agree.
Uh-huh.
2 point. I hadn't thought of it that way. So no doubt. Hey, Rachel, did you, was that Rachel who just joined us? Or Melissa?
Yeah.
You're both. You're Melissa and Rachel today. Cool.
Yeah.
You got big shoes to fill.
Oh, my goodness.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, well, we are just starting. We were talking about an act of kindness. I know, Rachel, you were going to try and bring a cup of coffee to your boss this past week was something you were going to focus on. Did you get to accomplish that task or that choice of what you thought about?
I did, and I just thanked her for her hard work.
Oh, nice. And how did that affect her?
She's like, thanks. She just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's a little bit different. It's hard to try to read her.
Right.
One day I was going to go get the coffee, though, because we haven't had heat in our office for, like, the last 2 weeks. So I was going to go get it, and then at that point she was going to be gone for an hour. So I was like, well, there's no point in getting it now because it'll be cold by the time she gets back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble getting there on time in the morning, so.
Weird. No, I'm just
I'm
kidding.
Wasting my time.
Yeah, I understand. Well, no problem. But, and the challenge I gave is, I mean, we have a challenge that I'm going to give you guys this week. So after this week, try it. Just, you know, I always say when God puts it on your heart, just follow through. Just go for it. I'm going to give
right
an example.
Then.
Right then. Right then. And just like when God puts someone on your heart to pray for them or, you know, to touch base with them, send them a text right then. Y'all know you get text messages at all hours of the night from me. That's because God puts you on my heart at that point. And if I don't do it then, I'm not going to remember or it's going to lose its value in the sense of the heartfelt I have right then. Does that make sense? Or an email or whatever. So just, you know, it's impactful in the way of listening. And I think what this book said to me more than anything is listening to the people around you and being open to what their love language is and speaking their language. Just like, you know, we hear people say, oh, you speak Mary Kay, like it's a foreign language. We do have our own, you know, ways of saying things, but it's just that we're positive. We had the big girls lunch yesterday, which, it's the studio directors and any DIQs in our studio. We go to lunch once a month, and we talk about things about the studio and just things like that. It's really cool. God put that on my heart a couple of months ago, and we enacted it, and it's been really, really fun and impactful for the DIQs. So anyway, we were there yesterday, and Kim was there, who's the DIQ, and we were talking about, you know, unit names and how we all got ours, how we felt God led. And both Tina and Cindy have both changed theirs since they didn't feel like it was what God had called them to do. They needed to be the Believe unit for Cindy and then the Wow unit for Tina. And so we were talking about that. And so I was asking Kim, I'm like, well, what's your unit name? And she goes, well, it was Thrive until you told me that Cheryl Fulcher's area is Thrive. And so I went on her site and I looked at it and I was like, oh, that kind of takes away the fun because it's nothing unusual. And I said, so I was just sitting there and listening to her, and she was telling me a story of someone that was extremely impactful to her in her life, and her name was Susie, which you guys on the call don't know that I have someone very near to me called Susie that actually took care of Mary Beth so I could finish school, and so she really, really, really is very important to our family as a whole, but has a special bond with Mary Beth and myself. So it was funny when she said that because it just made me think Susie. And March was the time that we had a pretty tragic thing happen in Susie's life, et cetera. So it made me start thinking about it even more. And so I just turned to Cam and I'm like, Shooting Stars. Shooting Stars is your unit name. Shooting Stars. It's you're shining, thriving, always reflecting sisters. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're so, I mean, she just like felt it instantly. Rachel, can you relate? Like when we got your faith and how it fell together.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was so cool to just see her, just, you could tell her faith. And I just like shouted it out because it's what God put on my heart. And it was so cool to watch. So I would encourage you to, as you're doing the things, watch the people. Not watch them like, what is she going to do? How is she going to react? Is she going to like it? Is she not going to like it? How is she going to like my love language? None of that. It's none of that. It's just watch and see. And if it doesn't, it's fine. But it was so cool. It really was. So, I guess the coolest part was just to see God working in that arena right there. But I'll encourage you guys to just be open to that and reflecting in what happens at that point. So, okay, so we are going to talk about physical touch today. And this was a weird one, a hard one. I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But I did a lot more research than just the physical touch that Gary talked about in both books. Of course, the couples one was a little bit more intimate, where the singles one was sharing more about as a single. There was a lot I learned, and a lot I learned in a lot of different ways. And I have always said that my son Victor, his love language is physical touch. And the reason for that is up until he was 17 years old, when he would go to bed, he'd say, Mom, will you scratch my back? And so I scratched his back every night. And finally, at I think he was 17, Scott's like, okay, that's getting weird. That's enough. Stop scratching his back. I'm like, well, he likes his back scratched. I don't know what to tell you. So anyway, his primary love language is totally physical touch, and not in a in an intimate way, just in a caring way, okay? So there's a difference. It's not always intimate. A lot of it has to do with caring. I loved in the research that I did separately from the books that it's used, physical touch is used around the world to express our acceptance or rejection of those around us. So like in the U.S., if we refuse to shake hands with someone, what message are you sending?
I don't like you.
It's a complete shutdown. That's right. I don't like you. I don't like what you represent. I don't like anything about you. Back off is what it's saying, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in Mary Kay, hugging, of course, is absolutely the handshake for us. But I'm sure everybody on this call has witnessed those that are uncomfortable with hugging. It is something you have to get used to. It is something, and I mean, even in our church, we do hug and howdy time. And, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it. Brenda and I were sharing a while back, and she was talking about one Sunday. She just didn't feel like hugging, so she just stayed in her seat. And you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate when someone really feels strongly about that to not force it. You know what I mean? To not make it be so fake. Because that's what I feel like when you force the issue. So, anyway, Brenda, thank you for sharing that piece. Go ahead.
I'll add one thing to it, too. And I see this more at the nursing home, but people that resist hugging might say, well, I've got a little cold or something. Uh-huh. They're thinking about you, so you don't even count that.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. When they don't feel well and they're like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well or something like that. That is a very courteous thing. That mm-hmm. certainly is not, you know, defiance. And people need to realize that and accept that. So, and I think we all are pretty good on that. You know, the other thing is we see evidence clearly with babies that physical touch is huge in the development of a healthier emotional life. So, you know, studies show that when babies have physical touch, they develop the healthier emotional life. And the babies that go a long period of time without physical touch, that is very important to know because it goes above all of, or it goes beyond all of the above, and it's needed for feeling loved. The physical touch is needed for the feeling of love. So like a baby, really they have very few needs. They just need to be fed. They just need to be changed. But so the only way they need to be fed, the only way they feel love is to be held. Mm-hmm. And so it's that physical touch. And if they don't have that, it is a rejection in so many ways. And so that's why a lot of these mission trips you hear about are people, you know, women going over to orphanages just to hold the babies. Really, that's what they're there for, to hold the babies and pray for the babies. Dawn just went on one to Jamaica, and that's exactly her mission. Her mission was to go to pray and to hold the babies in the nursery. It was perfect for Dawn. It was a perfect mission trip for Dawn because she's not a lovey-feely kind of person, but it really changed her because she saw that these babies didn't have it when they cried. And that was really, really impactful for her. So as we look closely, I want you guys to know that, of course, you know, physical touch, sex is a part of it, but it's not all of it, by any means. It's a very small piece of it. The expression of love is complex, is as complex as the individual who needs it to express their love. It really was very insightful for me in doing the research that the benefits of physical touch have been studied so much that the findings show that therapeutic touch is successful in managing fibromyalgia, which all know is a debilitating disease, and I didn't realize this, it helps reduce symptoms in Alzheimer's patients. That was amazing to me. I thought, wow. So the thought behind that, or the study behind that, was so many Alzheimer's patients go back to what they their fondest memory of, and 9 out of 10 times it's when they were younger, when they were in their parents' house, or you know, younger as a child, and so that's when they had the physical touch of their mother or their father, but they had the physical touch. And of course, as we get older, you know, you don't see that. You don't get that as much, especially if you're not in the Mary Kay world, you don't get it at all, right? I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, or at Branches, one of the two. It's really amazing that, you know, once you're in the Mary Kay world, you know it's a natural, and you then go forth and do it to others. But it really did amaze me how much is missing in that. So the other thing is skin-to-skin contact between babies and mothers is so beneficial to the baby's health. It's common practice in hospitals for premature babies. I know when, when Veronica had Shay, most of the pictures were, you know, Veronica and she would have Shay laying on her under her gown. And I thought, oh, well, I guess she's nursing or whatever. But they did the same thing with Joe, the husband, her dad. They would, you know, have him hold Shay. She only had a diaper on, and he wouldn't have a shirt on because the skin-to-skin contact. And I didn't realize that was common practice now, but it's amazing the overall effect to the baby's health. And Shay is a thriving 2-year-old now. It's unbelievable, or 1-year-old going into 2. Unbelievable, unbelievable the way that she's recovered, to say the least. So it definitely shows. The other thing that I related that to is some things Mary Beth has shared with me recently, and that is with Aiden, who's the middle grandson, it's called wearing the baby. You wear the baby now. You don't carry the baby. You wear the baby. It's a papoose like the Indians used, and you actually put the baby in it, and you wear them. I mean, it leaves your arms free, and so they are basically strapped to you. In the front, you know, against your chest. I did a skincare class with Aiden as a 2-month-old strapped to me because it was at Mary Beth's house and he was fussing, so I strapped him. I wore him for the skincare class. It was kind of funny. I said, I can totally relate now. But it was effective. Here's the difference to that, though. That is totally Aiden's love language, is to be next to you. He gives the greatest hugs in the world. Like, they call him Squish because he hugs so good. He like squishes you. It's amazing. And so I think that had a lot to do with it because AJ was not worn. I don't even think they had him when he was born, even though it was just a couple years earlier. But, you know, AJ's love language is quality time. He wants to talk and he wants you to listen and he wants you to play with him. And, of course, that's age, but it's kind of always been the case with him. So it's funny in relating it to your kids or your grandkids or people you know. I think that's hugely impactful. Okay, so the importance of physical touch as a whole is to reduce stress and it relieves pain. So Rachel can relate. You think of a massage, it reduces pain, right? Sometimes it can cause pain, not Rachel's. I'll assure everyone of that. But it can, you know, it relieves pain. If you're in a lot of pain and you get a massage, it relieves it. So that's a physical touch. Now, guys seem to think, some guys seem to think that the massages can be more a intimate thing. And it just depends on your love language. If that's not your love language, that's not the case at all. It is municipal for total, you know, relief of pressure or muscle aches or whatever. So it really is. And I think, Rachel, didn't you say Rick had to get used to that when y'all first got together?
Yeah, it was just hard because I knew I was touching other people all day long. And for, men, when they get a massage, they can get excited, just to say. But it has nothing to do with, you know, the touch. It's just when they get to that form of relaxation, that's where it happens.
Right, just like, when little boys sleep.
Exactly. So, a lot of times the blanket helps hold it down. But, yeah, that was really weird for him to know that that could happen. And other people were on my table, and I'd be touching people all day long and coming home. But then he got used to it.
Yeah, he did. He did good. And now he loves that you're in Mary Kay.
Yeah. I packed up my massage table yesterday, so.
Did you? Oh, big step.
That was a little bit hard. That was a little hard last night.
I bet. Big step. Congratulations, though. I told you that's the turning point, right? Absolutely.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, and so, yeah, so that is a good example for Rick and how he had to overcome that and what guys think of it, right, as the touch. Well, that will go to tell you that a good amount of guys, their love language is physical touch. And physical touch is probably the easiest love language to detect because if they enjoy hugging, cradling, holding hands, physical touch is appreciated, like just hugs. A light touch is used with family, close friends. I mean, I think y'all would probably say, and I could be wrong, but Lisa at the studio, that probably is a strong love language for her. Wouldn't y'all agree with the way she hugs?
Yeah.
I mean, total like embrace, nobody else is around. No one else, you know, she focuses on no one else, which is cool. And, you know, it's a cool way to be. So that's a good way to look at people and learn is physical touch their love language. There were a couple of examples that I thought, wow, this really makes sense to me. So a wife can greet her husband at the door when he comes home from work with a big hug. The funny part for me was when Scott and I first got married, and y'all know, and my mom's on the call, so I can say this. My parents got divorced when I was 15, and I actually told my mom, will you please get a divorce? I can't handle the arguing anymore. And so, I've told her this, I grew up without seeing physical touch, like holding hands and hugs and kisses. And so in my marriage, when Scott grew up with that and I didn't, it was weird. And I know a lot of you guys probably felt that too. As a whole. So your upbringing really plays a part into your relationships, not just marriage, but as a whole. So, it was different for me. And up north, y'all that know Carol know this, you know, they have this thing about kissing on the cheek. Every time you walk in the door, they kiss you on the cheek. And I'm like, okay, now it seems forced. Like, it doesn't seem natural anymore. And it doesn't matter, male, female, whatever. And so that was hard for me to get used to as well. You know, I can see hugging, but not, I mean, if you live in the same town and you see each other all the time and I don't know, it just seems strange outside of Mary Kay. In Mary Kay, it does not seem strange to me. That's just part of Mary Kay. That's how we are. Even Brenda who came and did her.
You lived with Mary Kay.
Huh?
And you lived with Mary Kay.
Right. I was raised with it. Exactly. Yeah. So, and that too, I mean, so it was kind of a conflict in a weird way. You know, you're raised where your mom, as in a Mary Kay world, hugs and, you know, is conscious of that. But when it comes to relationships, I didn't see it. So it's amazing how that can change you and how you see relationships. Not change you, but just how you view relationships, I guess. But very interesting. I mean, even Brenda, who came to the studio for Working Wednesdays yesterday, you know, when she left, I'm like, ah, give me a hug. And, you know, that's part of it. That's how we say hi and bye. And so now it's not weird for me anymore with Carol and the New York crew, because that's what they do. And I'm used to that. So it's kind of interesting how we have to get used to things. But so when, you know, someone walks in the door giving the hug, or, you know, sometimes it's great to be in communication if this is part of your love language, that, you know, for instance, like I was saying, every time you walk in the door, you have to give them a kiss. You wake up in the morning and you see them for the first time, and this isn't spouses, this is mothers and sons, or brothers and sisters. You know, you see them for the first time, you have to go over and give them a kiss. Okay, that's not how I was raised. I've never actually seen that except from Scott's side of family. So, you know, sometimes it can, and this was part of the study I did, it can make people feel smothered. So you have to walk an interesting line. I don't want to say a fine line. But you have to know in relationships, especially with children, that sometimes it can feel overzealous and put on, because it's a habit. It's a scheduled event versus a true feeling of emotion. And I think that was the hardest part for me. I want true feelings of emotion, which I think is Mary Kay in what we do. But when it's just, you know, every time you see someone, even when they're in your house, you have to go up and give them a kiss on the cheek. Yeah, that just feels like a task, not a physical emotion. So, anyway.
Hey, Katie.
Yes.
I wanted to, this is making me think of something I experienced in the last 6 months with my kids.
Yeah.
I was always that person that before my kids walked out the door, they had to get a hug, you know, and they should be there. And even when they were adults, if they left the house, you know, the ones that moved away,
mm-hmm.
you know, I gave them a hug before they left. Well, mm-hmm. I started picking up with my oldest son that when he would get ready to leave, he really didn't want that anymore.
Uh-huh.
And that was very difficult for me, because, I mean, that's like, whoa, that signal came through loud and clear, you know.
Right.
And it was a challenge for me to realize that, you know, he's a grown man. He doesn't want to do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'll have to be on his terms when he's ready.
Right. And you do have to come to terms with it if that's how you were as a mom. And as they get older, I think one of the examples that was on the, I don't know if it was on this CD, the book or something, and the research I was doing, that, you know, a little league player, when he gets off the field, he runs to his mom and jumps in his arms and is so excited. And, you know, she hugs him and so proud of him. Yet, you know, when he's 16 and he finishes the championship game, he's not looking for his mom to go jump in her arms. Right? I mean, he is like, okay, yay, yeah, woo, you're excited for me, mom. And we do have to recognize that. I have a really funny story with that. When Scott was in the playoffs and he was in high school, he was the catcher, and a pitch went wild and hurt him, and he is rolling around on the batting area, and truly his mom was ready to run out on the field, like, because her son was hurt, and he was, of course, rolling around, and his father stopped her and said, "Don't you dare."
Because it would embarrass him.
Oh, my gosh, would it ever. Especially the, you know, as a catcher, he was kneeling down. Yeah, it was a painful injury, to say the least. Yeah, no, do not. He's just like, don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how true is that? We want to fix it. But sometimes on the side, on the reverse, we need to be aware of that, right? We need to be aware that as our kids start getting to that age. I've seen it on the kind of Brenda, what you were sharing, and you guys know the boys are with us 50% of the time, but their mom, before they leave her presence, they have to give her a kiss. And she kisses them on the mouth. That just grosses me out in general. But it's totally uncomfortable for them. And you can tell. And I feel for them. I just really just, I really wish they were strong enough to say something. But they don't want to hurt their mom. But how do you coach that for them? You know, I don't, because of who I am, I can't really say, well, I would just say something. I can't really say that because I'm a stepmom. But think about that, you know. So let's be aware of that, too, on the side of it, that in a different way. Okay. Let me say, to those who do not require much affection, touching does not come naturally. It is something that has to be worked on. And that was, you know, mine with Scott's family, really having to get used to the, you know, and coming down and, you know, kissing his mom on the cheek, or at church, kissing his mom on the cheek when I walked in, you know, or when I saw her for the first time or whatever. That was something I had to learn, because when she didn't get that, she felt rejected. She felt like just the wall. So I had to learn that. I had to learn that, you know, because that's never, I mean, my family, if you want to be recognized, you just get louder and you're recognized. It's real quick. I mean, that's just the solving point, right? The louder you get, the more you're recognized, as Scott would say, or any of us actually say that now. But it's so true. And so you have to learn. You know, Scott has this great saying, learn who you're dealing with and adjust accordingly. Know who you're dealing with and adjust accordingly. And I think that's such an amazing practice of words as a whole. So if you learn who you're dealing with and adjust accordingly, you're adjusting yourself, because you can only control yourself, and what a difference it makes as a whole to that person and to your relationships. So, you know, for the person that is not affectionate and it doesn't come naturally, a forced goal, you can a focused goal of a certain number of touches per day, or, you know, to consciously make the effort, which was me. I had to consciously make the effort, and that really helped as a whole, as our, you know, as mine and Scott's mom's relationship went to the next level. It really helped me pay attention to that. And, you know, is that cool? Not necessarily, but it is the way it is. I mean, we've got to learn to adapt and work with what we have and what we're given. And, you know, my love language is different. And a lot of times, if you don't feel your love language given, you don't want to give theirs back, which is not really the Christian way to do it. But that's just how we are as humans. I'll be very honest on that one. So, yeah.
I heard a motivational speaker say one time to image the person you're talking to, and, you know, that way you can understand them better. In other words, if they're kind of using a lot of slang or country or something like that, don't be so proper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just image them, and they will, you'll be able to communicate much better with them too, and find out what personality they are.
Right, so imitate them.
Imitate, yeah.
Imitate
so
them
said,
and, yeah, imitate.
Image.
Yeah. Yeah, in the
like
image that
the
they're
mirror.
Portraying.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And that's true. And, you know, my mom's always called me a chameleon, because wherever I am, I adapt, and wherever I am, I, like, turn into. So when I lived up north, she said I would turn into a Yankee.
It was a Yankee.
And I'm really good at accents. Like, when Brenda can relate to this. When I talk to Lindsay and Tommy Phillips, all of a sudden I sound like I'm from Talking Rock, Georgia.
Right.
Because that's exactly how they talk. It's like,
that makes people comfortable.
It does. It absolutely does. Hey, Brenda, I think we just got the answer for you on something you shared with me.
What was that?
With Lindsay.
Oh, maybe it's so.
You know what? Really, it just like hit me like upside the head. So, okay. That was on a side note. But anyway, okay. So a healthy relationship depends on good communication. It promotes understanding of motives and feelings. One thing I want to share with you guys, you know, it's really cool. Again, the big girls lunch I was sharing, I asked all the directors to pray for me this morning, because I said I'm doing physical touch, and it's just a really awkward love language for me to talk about openly, not with my spouse, but just, you know, and it, I actually thanked God this morning, because he gave me the the research that I needed to take it to the level I wanted it to be on here. But it was funny why he asked me to have them pray for me today is because Kim later that day said, you were talking about the five love languages. Tell me a little bit more about that. And so I shared with her what we were doing, and she said, I'm really intrigued. And so I went into, you know, what we were studying and, you know, the different languages and things like that. And I said, I have the book on tape, if you're our CD, if you're interested in listening to it. She said, oh, absolutely. And so we talked a little bit about it, a little bit more. And so I knew then why I was feeling uncomfortable is because I needed to ask the directors to pray. And so because Kim needed to hear, because she had heard about it but never heard it being taught, which was very cool. So, and something she shared in our conversation about the five love languages and about physical touch and things like that is, and I know the girls, Rachel and Brenda, you guys know that Kim wears a wig, and it's because she's completely bald. And she's completely.
I did not know that.
Yes, she does. Now you know.
I never knew that. Oh, my God.
She is completely bald because of something she has, some disease she has, so she cannot grow hair. So she was sharing with me that, you know, appearance is very important to her. I mean, I tell her all the time, man, you know, you got a good, wherever you get your wigs, they rock because it looks so natural. So anyway, she was talking about appearance, and she said, you know, it's so difficult in relationships, and she's divorced, so she said it's so difficult in relationships because, you know, once you get past all that stuff in a relationship, and you're at the point of, you know, talking marriage and talking intimacy, you then have to literally take your hair down. She said, in my case, I take it off. So funny. And I was really, like, laughing with her. I was laughing with her because she was just really funny about it. And she said, that is so all walls down when that happens. She said, it is a complete bottom, you know, just total humble place to be. And so she's very standoffish. And if y'all have noticed that, like she, like Brenda, you and her have really built up a bond lately, which I love to see. And I think she and I have as well. And what's cool is she doesn't meet with us on Monday night. So this is a separate, like, extension of the studio to me. But you know, she's somewhat standoffish. And that has a lot to do with it, that, you know, for her, it's going through that process and going through that, the bringing herself to that level. And so she was just sharing that, you know, that when she gets to that point in a relationship, she is like marriage because that is so humbling to her to do that in front of anybody. So that was just really interesting for me in hearing her side of it. And so I have some examples that I want to share with you guys as we talk about physical touch and things to think about when you're thinking about those around you. I would say, and y'all can agree or disagree, probably Rachel's second love language is personal touch because she loves to hug and she gives the best hug. She and Lisa are the best huggers in the studio. And it's just her jubilant voice and her laughter and, you know, it just enjoys people, right? And so that helps people open up. I want you guys to think about, like, my grandmother, for instance. My grandparents used to sit on the couch side by side, at least their hips touching. I never saw physical, like, kisses or, you know, holding hands or whatever. But when they watched TV, they were sitting side by side, hip to hip. In fact, the couch had the divot in the middle. It was like, okay. So that was the physical touch I saw with them. And then when I was there, I'd go sit on the side of the couch with my grandmother, and I would bring my feet up, and then my grandmother would rub my feet just because I would just pull my feet up underneath me, and that was her love language to me. And I totally felt loved by her. So in a weird way, you know, not weird, but just that's a mother's love. And so we need to kind of pay attention to that with our kids and our grandkids. And, you know, as they get older, it's different, but paying attention to that and what we're showing our children, what we're emulating to our children by how we react to others in that respect. One thing I, and my mother can totally relate to this, my sister-in-law, not Carol, is not a physical toucher at all. Mm-hmm. Like hugs, it's the sideways, like halfway hug.
How about her wedding?
Possibly. When my brother went to kiss her, she turned her cheek. She turned her face and he kissed her cheek. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
At the wedding.
At the wedding. On the altar, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they say kiss the bride?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh.
She didn't want her lipstick messed up.
That's the first time I've ever heard that one, I must
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah. So she is not a toucher.
She's a zero at physical.
Yeah, I mean, like negative, like in the negative number, seriously. I mean, even after I come in, like, I always go up and hug her, and she's like, one arm, pat, 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 okay. It's really funny.
And her son, she has a son that is totally physical touch.
Oh, yes. Seward is totally all over you, like, up in your, like, space at all times. It's kind of funny. So, and it's the reaching out, too, I think. But she has physical touch with him.
Well, he's the approacher most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. It's interesting how that works, actually, now that I think about it. But, you know, and Mary Kay often will hear, I'm not a hugger.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you say, or you'll come in and they put their hand out and you go, oh, I'm a hugger, and I hug them.
Uh-huh.
So I make it known that I'm going to hug them.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of letting them know. And that helps them get ready for what's coming
mm-hmm.
if they're not. So that's something to think about, too. You know, when someone puts their hand out, if you want to hug them, just say, oh, I give hugs. I even do it, y'all are laughing. Our bank manager here, Chase, I mean, he and I, Nate, like, he has done me so many favors, and, like, we talk, and he's just a really nice Christian guy, has 5 kids. I mean, I know his whole story. And so when I went into the bank because they were taking my mortgage payment out twice and they weren't supposed to and blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, so when we were all done getting that all situated because it was their mix-up, he put his hand out. He's like, you know, it was so good talking to you. And I'm like, oh, Nate, please, I'm a hugger. And so I ran over. I mean, I hugged his neck. And you could tell he was like, wow, different, weird. I mean, he didn't feel like it was weird, though, because he has 5 kids. I mean, come on already. How can you feel that's weird to just get a hug? But it was because I was a customer. But it was funny just to see. I mean, it really, like, oh, okay. So it made it okay the way I said, you know, I'm a hugger. So anyway, use that.
Yeah,
use that term.
Yeah, I've that with, like, massage customers.
Yeah.
And then even with Mary Kay, when I meet someone, like, oh, okay, and I give them a hug, like, I'm the same way. When I meet somebody, I don't know, like at church or somebody, or, you know, I'm like,
right.
Oh, I'm a hugger. I'm going to give you a hug. Nice
yep.
to meet you. Here's my hug.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. No doubt. I mean, so true. So, and I find it's how you were raised and what you saw as a child. I just said that. But sometimes we have to practice it. And sometimes, and I like that Mary Kay allows us to practice that. You know, Cindy says all the time that she did not hug. She was not a physical touch because she was abused as a child. And that will have a lot of impact, but she's come to go past that. She's still not super affectionate, but she's come a long way. So that makes a big difference. So I want to talk real quick about finishing up the book. Do you guys think your love language is different than what you originally thought?
I don't know. I used to always be physical touch as my number one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was weird when I did the test. And then it came back quality of time. But then when I still went back to physical touch reading it, I still felt like that's still strong number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess just from years of from massage and just learning that, you know, hug and touch and how important and vital it is.
Right. I would definitely say yours is physical touch. Just and you have to, I think to a certain extent, you have to be able to do massages too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you weren't a physical touch kind of person, there would be no way you could be a massage therapist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's always been number one. So when I was doing that test, I was like, you remember what we were saying, can it change? Because I was surprised because physical touch wasn't my number one. It was like
uh-huh.
my number three. And I was like, okay. And I don't know if it's, I don't know. It was just weird. So reading it, I was still
kind of felt like it's still my number one going back to it. Maybe it's just because, you know, I haven't massaged it a little bit or something, so when I went over the questions, I don't know. Because even looking, like, to Caleb, you know, we snuggle a lot. He wants to snuggle before he goes to bed and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still think physical touch, even though I'm not doing massage as much right now, is still pretty strong number one for me.
I do. And I think we can all have equal in a lot of ways, just like our personalities. I think our love languages can be equal in a lot of ways. So, and it, you know, it might be physical touch for others, but not your spouse. Right? So, you know,
yeah,
in the sense, so it can be different. You
yeah.
know, your giving love is physical touch, but your receiving love is different. So how you feel loved by Rick is quality time, but how you give love is physical touch.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it can get confusing there, but that makes a difference, too. And then, you know, seeing makes a difference. So seeing the different love languages, too, makes you realize the difference among people. So, Mom, how about you? Do you think you're still the same?
I was so close in three of them.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, two of them were tied. So I feel like that all three of them were, you know, were accurate
right.
at different times.
Right, right. Yeah, and it will change.
Physical touch wasn't one, as usual, as you figured. I had zero
physical touch, right.
touch, even with the Mary Kay. But at this moment, I'm not doing the Mary Kay with the hugs much, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably why I was more current. And I think that we can change, I mean, not change it ourselves, but we can focus on it.
Well, and our surroundings.
The things that we're not. Huh?
Yeah. Our surroundings change it as well.
Yeah.
Our
yeah,
current surroundings.
What happens at the moment? You know, it's like
right.
the personality profile. I've been several different personalities based on where my life was at that time.
Right, exactly, yeah. exactly. And, I mean, I would say certainly, I mean, because of me saying how I was raised and stuff, physical touch has never been a part of us as a family.
No,
I mean,
my parents weren't either.
Right, and I was going to say, as an older child, as the oldest child, too, that affects.
Uh-huh.
The physical touch piece, because, you know, I don't think AJ, for instance, gets the hugs and loves that Aiden and Addison get.
Uh-huh.
Because the older child syndrome, or not syndrome, but the older child. So, yeah, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny now because talking about with Alzheimer's patients, thinking just sitting there holding Nana's hand and
right.
stuff, and when I touch her arm now. So it does, it's interesting. It really
and
is.
I put like the moisturizer, intensive moisturizer on her face, and she just thoroughly enjoys it.
Right, yeah, because it does. It's therapeutic.
Uh-huh.
It is. I mean, that's what I read out of this, too, in the research. It was really, really like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but it's interesting. I think Brenda dropped off, or I don't think I heard her ding back in, because I know she was headed to work. But
do
what?
I was going to say something, too, about the babies where you said not developing, and there's actually studies where babies – it was a month or 2 months, I can't remember, something when I first started massage school, there was a study done, and they would touch, some babies got touched, other ones didn't, and those babies that didn't get touched in that time frame completely died.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I think that really opened my eyes, because I was like, wow, I mean, somebody can literally die if we don't touch them.
I know.
And that's when you realize people, I mean, they need it for every day.
I know, they really do. It's amazing. It really is. I mean, I never realized either until this study how much it does help people survive. So, all right. Well, if y'all don't have any more statements, we are done with this book. We're not going to start back till after career conference, which will be in April. And so I'll send out the information about the Confident Woman and that what the next book we're doing. But so you'll be getting that stuff from me. But I have a poem I want to close with that was really, it was very cool because talking about physical touch and hugs, and I think that's the Mary Kay world is hugging, of course, and it just helps people. It can, I always say, it can either help people come in or help people go out, depending on what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So, it's true, right? So anyway,
yeah.
I'm going to close.
It.
Do what?
People read it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And if it's fake, they know it too.
Yeah.
And that's my thing. I don't want at any point my physical touch or my hug to be fake. I want it to be felt. Not fake, but felt. Because if it's fake, then, you know, like, for instance, my sister-in-law, I know that's a forced, fake physical touch.
Uh-huh.
And now I just do it because I'm not nice now. I mean, you know.
Well, you might be filling your tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But I want to close with a poem. It's called A Simple Hug. There's something in a simple hug that always warms the heart. It welcomes us back home and makes it easier to part. A hug is a way to share the joy and sad times we go through, or just a way for friends to say they like you because you're you. Hugs are meant for anyone for whom we really care, from a grandmother to a neighbor or a cuddly teddy bear. A hug is an amazing thing. It's just the perfect way to show the love we're feeling but can't find the words to say. It's funny how a little hug makes everyone feel good. In every place and language, it's always understood. And hugs don't need new equipment, special batteries, or parts. Just open your arms and open up your hearts. And that was just so appropriate for what we talked about today. So this week, give a simple hug to someone that might not be a hugger and just see their reaction and see if it changes the course or whatever situation you're in, you know, like with Nana Mom, you know, sit there and hold her hand or and just see if it, like the moisturizer on her face, just see if it changes the surroundings for her, because I think we'll notice a difference, and I'm going to pay attention to that as well. So you guys have a great week, and I will be in touch with email on the next book, but we will talk before then. Have a great one, and thanks for joining us for this call.
We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It was great.
Thanks.
Love you,
thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.